Check him out on his website if you dare. My God, Terry Tripp is somewhere in the world ministering today, and wherever he is, he's giving them heaven today. Looking forward to having him back in November. Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 3, and you know, of course, that Holy Scripture was written without being divided into chapters and verses, and later holy men, devout men, got together and spent 2 or 3 years under the mandate of King James of England, and then translated to the best of their ability Holy Scripture from Hebrew and Greek into English. And when they did, they were the ones who divided chapters. Oh, chapter 3 will stop here, and chapter 4 began. But of course, the Word of God is spoken without interruption, and so I'm doing something different today. Rarely have I done this, but the very last verse of chapter 3 in Galatians, and then the first verse of chapter 4. It was spoken together, it was written together, it goes together, even though it's divided into two different chapters. Galatians 3:29 and then Galatians 4:1. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Such good news. We're in Christ. We are an heir according to the promise. And then an admonition, a qualifier. As long as the heir is a minor, is a child, there is not much difference between that heir and a slave. And today I'm talking about converts everywhere, but fewer disciples. It's one thing to be a convert. Everybody here's been converted. I assume you have, or you wouldn't be here. Everybody here, by your very presence, is admitting, giving testimony to the fact, I believe there's something to Jesus, the Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's worth me getting up on my day off, getting dressed, and going to a house that was built to honor him and built for people to gather and worship him. Everybody here's probably been converted, but how effective have we yielded our lives to discipleship and spiritual maturity? It's one thing to be a convert. It's another thing altogether to be a mature believer and a true disciple of Christ. The New Living Translation says you're not much better off than slaves until you grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. The Message Translation says as long as the heir is a minor, he has no advantage over the slave. Imagine it, being an heir to everything the father owns. And yet because of our immaturity, our childishness, we are not much better off than a slave who is not in line to inherit anything. Now, there is, in legal circles, and hopefully all of you know this and have made your own arrangements, what's called a last will and testament. A last will and testament is a written document detailing how a person's wealth is to be shared among a person or group, especially children. This is the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, it may even say that in your Bible at the beginning of the New Testament. The last will and testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got a Bible? Look and see if yours does. Because most of them do. Last will and testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the New Testament is. And so this is a written document detailing how a person's wealth, God's wealth, is to be distributed and shared among a person or a group, especially children. Now, here's the bottom line of being distinctively different from a convert. This is the qualifying of a true disciple. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. That's it right there. How sad it is for many people to become converted. They will have a moment in their life when they truly believe Jesus is the Son of God. Sometimes it comes with a warm and fuzzy feeling. Sometimes it does not. You're not saved by a fuzzy feeling. You're not saved by goosebumps or hairs standing up on your arm or the back of your neck. None of that is a spiritual confirmation of your salvation. You may or may not have some or all of the above. You're saved by faith, and to be a convert, there is that moment in your life where, and you can look back, many of you can look back and say, oh, I remember where I was when I knew that I knew Jesus was the Son of God, and I remember embracing that truth, and I became a convert. And sadly, many people who are converts remain a child in their spiritual development. That is a place to say amen right there, or oh me. So here's how we grow in Christ. Here's how we get out of the childish stage of our spiritual life and grow up into full maturity in Christ if we continue in His Word. I have to have it every day. I have to hear from God every day. It's not that hard. In fact, it's easy to hear from God. He's a great communicator. It's hard to miss Him when He speaks. You'd have to be deaf. Bible calls it dull of hearing. He makes it easy to hear from Him. And He said, if you want to grow up and leave the childhood status of just being a mere convert and spiritually mature in your life on earth before I receive you into heaven, the way to do it is continue in my word. Then you will be my disciples indeed. Now I say it like this. Once you're in Christ, stay put and grow up by continuing in His Word. The word continue in the Greek means to abide, and look, to remain in a given place, to endure and remain present. To remain present. Everything in the world is designed to distract us from presence. Think about it. Everything in the world, was designed with that purpose, to distract us from remaining present. Even our mind will take us to the past and bog us down with guilt and regret. Or our mind will take us warp speed into the future and we'll be overcome with anxiety and worry over things that haven't even happened and probably never will. But to continue means to remain in a given place, to endure and remain present. Yesterday at my house, Tiffany saw me on my phone texting, and she called me out. Isn't that funny? She called me out, said, I'm talking to you and you're not even present. Didn't you call me out? Now, I've done the same for her. But, we always do that. But how easy it is to be someplace and not be present. But when he said, continue in my word, he means remain present in the word. And he said, you will be my disciple indeed. The word disciple means a pupil and a learner. Now, there are converts everywhere, but far fewer true disciples because we don't remain present in the word. Oh, he's speaking all around us and our mind is distracted. Our spirit is somewhere else. We're not present in the word. We've not continued in the word. Now, what defines spiritual maturity? We're talking about converts everywhere, but fewer disciples. So the question, what defines spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is learning how to walk in obedience to God. Nothing more and nothing less. Learning how to walk in obedience to God. John Bevere said, physical growth is determined by time and age. Intellectual growth is determined by education. But spiritual growth is determined by obedience. So, as long as we even hear the word and even know the word and refuse to obey the word, we're childish. In line to inherit everything the Father has, he's put us in his last will and testament. Every promise he gave Abraham is passed down to us. But as long as we refuse to be obedient, and that's the definition of spiritual maturity, then we're not much better off than a slave. That's sad, isn't it? It's a wake-up call today. Me first. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, we're born again by the Spirit. We're made alive in the Spirit at the new birth. I just want to ask, just to see who's awake and who's saved. If you're awake in here and saved, do you remember when you became alive in the Spirit, the new birth? Raise your hand. Go ahead. If you know you're alive in the Spirit and you're awake, some of you are asleep. Got your hand down. Distractions, I'm telling you. Everything in the world has the purpose of distracting us from being present. But since we are alive, we've been made alive in the Spirit, the Bible gives us instructions. Walk in the Spirit. If you are alive in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. The Greek word walk means to walk with a purpose in view. To walk in step with the Spirit. Step by step, one step at a time. That's how everybody grows in every area. One step at a time. That's why when you're 3 years old or 4 years old and your parents go to enroll you in 3K, 4K, they don't start you off on day one in the 10th grade. Now that you're born again and you're alive in the Spirit, then walk step by step in the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. Learn to walk that way. You'll never get distracted and drawn off course into disobedience very long without the teacher, Holy Spirit living in you, nudging you, just gently nudging you. This is the way. Walk this way. You'll hear that. As we learn to walk in step with the Spirit, we develop spiritual maturity. We grow up, and one day we'll leave the childish stage. We'll get out of the finger painting class and go on up, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. It's that way in our natural learning. It's that way in our physical development. You know, when you're a baby, you don't go to the shoe store and get a size 11. It's one step at a time. It's growing at this level and then a higher level and then a greater level. And God's perfect will is that there be glory found at every level. From one level of glory to another level of glory. Life comes in seasons and every season can be glorious. Now, not everything's going to be wonderful. You know, you can look back at your life and And if you're like me, you can say, you know, some things were painful. Some things I would not want to go through again. Some things I hope I learned everything I needed to learn in that one time. I don't want to repeat that grade again. So it's walking in step with the Spirit. If you're alive in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit, St. Paul tells us. And then let me give you a shocker. It's so much easier than we make it out. Spiritual development and spiritual maturity and becoming a true disciple. All you got to do is stay in the Word. Live there. Live in the Word all your life. But here's the shocker. Spiritual growth is not automatic. Spiritual growth is a choice. You will make it every day, sometimes every hour, sometimes many times in an hour. It's a choice. It's about learning to be obedient to God's Word. He clearly gives us the book. It's an instruction manual, a manufacturer's handbook, the one who made us. We come with a book. Tell us how to operate as we should. Tell us how to recharge our batteries when we're weak. And we need to stay there and walk according to the Word in obedience. We have to make a choice every day. Today when I got up, I made a choice. And my first choice, I know I'm going to church. I mean, in case anybody's wondering whether Carl's going to church. No, I'm choosing today. I'm Carl going to be in church this morning. Thank you for making that same choice, by the way. But then, I want to grow today. I don't want to fail today. I don't want to have to take today over. Unless it's a really good day. I'll take a good day over. But it's a choice we make. Do I want to obey God today? Do I want to follow His will today? Well, what is His will? If you continue in the Word, it's written out for you. It's right there. You will know. And then the Holy Spirit living on the inside, He's the teacher. He's the developer. I mean, it's His job description to retrain us the way we think. I'll get to that in a minute. To retrain us, to reprogram us so that we will be more Christ-like. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And so the teacher is living inside of us. And you make a choice. Listen to him. Follow him, the teacher on the inside. Or not. It's a choice. You don't have to. You can just remain a convert. Remain a childish Christian until you go to heaven. You're probably going to get there. You're going to get to heaven maybe sooner. And here's the deal. Here's why we continue in the Word. The kindest thing God could have done for us, the kindest thing, is the moment we were born again and ready to go to heaven. Just take us to heaven right then. We would have been spared. So much evil in the world, so many distractions. I mean, it would have been such a kind thing for God just, okay, He's ready, come on. Get out of there. But he didn't. And so why is spiritual maturity important? Why is not settling to just be a convert and pressing further into God and becoming mature in the Spirit, why is that important? For our life on earth. It's while we're here. It's all the benefits it brings to us and the glory it gives God for us to grow up spiritually and receive the inheritance the Father has written in His will, in His last will and testament, while we're on earth. Oh, we won't need anything much in heaven. We'll be in the presence all the time without distraction. So growing up is a benefit to us only during our earth life. So don't put it off. Make the choice. It's necessary to deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to get to know God while you're on earth, or if you want to get to know Jesus while you're on earth, you got to get to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But the Father is in heaven right now. The Son is in heaven right now, seated at the Father's right hand. And the only expression of the Spirit of God that is in earth with us is the Holy Spirit of God. And He's not out there somewhere in a mountain. He lives inside of us. He indwells our temple, and he teaches us truth from the inside out. That's why when you hear God speak, it will be deafening, even if he's silent, because it's not an audible voice you hear from the outside in with these ears. It is a voice that speaks from the inside out, and it speaks so much louder than an audible voice you will hear from the outside in. And spiritual growth enables us to be more Christ-like in our everyday life on earth. Not to benefit us after we get to heaven. We will need no benefit in heaven. We will have everything we need forever. So it's while we're on this journey, this earth journey, that spiritual maturity is a challenge, and it brings benefits and rewards to us in this life. Heaven is a done deal. How many of you know you're going to heaven? Some of you are asleep. Can't even get your hand up. I'm kidding. Everybody hand went up on that one. That'll tell you. So I know when you're sleeping, some of you. Some of you, if you see me staring in a certain section, it's because I got my own somebody whose eyes are not open. I think everybody's awake in here right now, though. Spiritual growth is a choice, and it is not the same thing as being religious. I'm talking about growing up in the Spirit, not being religious. I hate religion. To hell with religion. I think a religious spirit is straight from hell. Some people may not understand that. I might ought to be careful. Many years ago, on a Sunday afternoon, I was cutting my grass. This was many years ago. Now, everybody knows right now it's okay to cut your grass on Sunday, right? But I was pushing my lawnmower, and my neighbor next door at the time was out in her backyard, and she said, Carl, and she knew I was a pastor and a Christian. She said, I didn't think y'all cut your grass on Sunday. And I said, oh, honey, we cut our grass whenever we can. Religion. Religion comes from a regimen of rigid traditions and mandated deeds. And when it comes to keeping religious laws, obedience to those laws is always guilt motivated. That's nothing at all to do with grace. We're in the New Testament, and God's grace is abundant. But keeping religious laws, now, I'm not talking about being unfaithful. You need to be stable. A mature believer is stable. A true disciple is steady in his walk, walking in step with the Spirit, step by step, one day at a time, one level at a time, passing the test here, getting glorious here at this level, and then being promoted to a higher level that is even more glorious when you get there. Oh, it's a beautiful sight, but religion has nothing to do with it. I remember I was trembling in my boots sitting right over here when Laverne Tripp was here one Sunday morning, and I love Laverne, and I know he's not perfect probably either, but love him, and I am in ministry, and my brand and my anointing, I got a lot from him because I worked for 12 years for his ministry before we moved here in 1986 and started the church. So I owe a lot to him spiritually and naturally. He was here preaching one Sunday many years ago. I was sitting over here, you got to understand what it's like to be a pastor, because when you got a guest speaker up, you feel responsible. And there have been once or twice in 33 years, only once or I've had bad speakers up. And I'm over here suffering for you. I mean, I know I've got to tolerate it, but I'm suffering for you. I'm saying, oh, God, I hate the people who are having to go through this. Oh, God, please shut him up quick, God. So I'm suffering over here. Not for me. I'll take it. But I was so sorry for y'all having to sit out there and endure just awful. So I'm over here sitting, and I'm fine. Laverne's up, and I have no trouble trusting anything Laverne would say. And he said, this is God's word. It is powerful. It is sharp. It is more powerful than a double-edged sword. It makes you alive. It quickens you in the spirit. It is powerful. And then he said, but there is one thing more powerful than the word of God. And when he said that, I said, oh God, where could he be going? Jesus, I pray for the people right now. I was hurting for you. And he said, one thing more powerful than the word of God, and that is the traditions of men. Because Jesus said the traditions of men make the word of God ineffective. And when he said that, I was set free, and I was happy for you. I was happy that we all escaped. We got out of that alive with a rich revelation. But making a choice to mature spiritually, to stay in God's word. Once you're in Christ, stay put and be present in his word as a lifestyle every day. And that's not at all anything religious. Christianity is not a religion. It's listed among the world's great religions, but it's not a religion at all. Religion is man's attempt to be good and to work enough that you could find favor to get to God, and none of us can. Christianity is different than Islam and Buddha and all of the other world religions because we don't even try to be good enough in order to earn salvation. Salvation is not a reward for our works. Salvation is a gift. We receive it by faith. Now then, once we are in Christ, stay put and remain present in his word. And if you continue in my word, Jesus said, you will become my disciple indeed, a close follower of Christ. Now, St. Paul said that a maturity process, a spiritual maturity, is an ongoing process. We didn't get it all when we were saved. Some believers are converts only. They got everything they're going to get when they were saved. You ever? Well, I won't ask. Some are that way. And that's okay. They're in the body. We're not going to judge them as not being in the body. But there's so much more benefit, a greater advantage available to them if they would take personal responsibility for their own spiritual maturity. It is a choice. And it's an ongoing process. Paul said, I've not already arrived at perfection. He said, but I press on toward the prize, and I forget what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. So, I mean, he was serious about spiritual maturity. Now I'm going to read a few scriptures quickly. Everybody here can hear what you need to hear the most in this word. 1 Corinthians 13:11, St. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. What kind of speaking are we doing? When I was a child, I understood as a child. When I was a child, I thought like a child thinks. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. King James says, by renewing the mind. Let God transform you. Somebody needs to hear this today. Into a new person. Are you tired of you? You tired of being you? I've been so tired of being me at times. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The will of God for you is a good will. The will of God for you is a pleasing will. And the will of God for you is a perfect will. And spiritually mature people who've had their mind renewed to God's word know His will. They become one with the will of God. That'd be a great sermon title. Who said it? I had an amen loud enough. Maybe next Sunday, part two, becoming one with the will. Well, I don't know. Don't hold me to it. I got 7 days, folks. I mean, my antennas are up all the time. Don't hold me to that one, but that's a good one. Becoming one with the will of God. Romans 12:2 tells you how to do that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the New King James Version says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That very same verse, 1 Peter 2 and 2 in the New Living Translation says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. A full experience. Grow into a full experience. Now wait, being converted is not the full experience. That was just the portal. That was just the beginning. That was first base. Being converted, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, being a convert is not the full experience of salvation. The full experience of salvation requires growth. It begins with milk, and we're to crave it, desire. King James says desire. The New Living says crave it. Probably about the same, but I don't know, crave has a little more. Crave. Well, if you've ever been an alcoholic, if you've ever been a drug addict, God, oh Jesus, I did not plan to have this much fun. You know what crave is? The flesh just craving something. Hey, the spirit can crave also. And the spirit can crave the pure spiritual milk from God's word. And when you're a baby, that's what you got to have. You got to have milk. Just think of a baby, how horrible it would be to deny a baby milk, because it's milk that causes the baby to grow. Why? Because they're a newborn. Now, when you're a new convert, some of you are, you're still on milk, craving it. You're craving it. You remember when you were first born again, you had a desire, my God, you were craving. Like a drug addict, had to get another fix. Don't lose it when it's the spirit craving the word, the milk of the word. But now, it says, cry out for this nourishment. Cry out for the word that will help you grow and mature and become a true disciple of Christ. And then I'm going to close with a few verses in Hebrews chapter 5. Everybody here can hear just what you need to hear in this word right now. Whatever you need to hear the most, you can hear it right now. If you have an ear to hear, listen up. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now, yeah, converts. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. Why? You were distracted. You didn't remain. You didn't stay put in the word. You were in Christ. You were converted. You became in Christ, but you didn't remain in his word. You didn't continue and abide and reside in his word. You drifted. You got out of the word for a while. Sometimes it's one day in the word, 6 days out. One day in the word, 6 days out. That will lead to wobbling and haltering and stumbling and being distracted and getting off track. And we know it in our cliche and our vernacular today as it's one step forward and two steps back. Spiritually, one step forward. Sunday morning, I got up and came to church. One step forward. One day in the Word, 6 days out. Well, we can't enjoy life like that. I mean, we're going to go to heaven. It's going to be all right up there. But this is for our benefit right now in our life on earth. That's funny, I know. Where was I? Instead, you need someone else to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk, now milk wasn't that bad when you were a convert. When you were a new baby in Christ, milk was what you had to have. You'd choke to death if you got anything other than milk. So there was a season to be... there was a season for milk. What now? I'm about to quit. Don't despise the milk of the Word. I like milk still every now and then. And at night, I'll get up and go to the refrigerator for milk. And I put mine on the rocks. I mean, I want it cold. Pour that milk in there. Milk. Oh, I still like milk every now and then. But I like a bone-in ribeye, too. Someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food, that's my bone-in ribeye. Somebody's ready to go eat. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I'm shutting up right there. Stand if you will. Many converts, the world full of converts, much fewer disciples. Bow your heads, please.